You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
It is such a delight to be able to share with you this morning. And not only is it a delight, but it is a privilege to be able to look together at God's word and what its implications might be for our life and for our living in this day and age. As I was working through my part of preparation for Ephesians chapter 4, I was stunned by the words that introduce this chapter that begin with, "Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now you may wonder, Esther, why were you stunned at those words? Are you? Is there anyone in the audience that is stunned at the beginning of this letter in chapter 4, that Paul, as a prisoner, is begging and pleading the people in Ephesus to lead a life worthy of the calling that they have been called to? And because you and I are members of that body, the church, we are given that same invitation to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you and I have been called. I am going to try and unpack a little bit of what this can mean for us today and how we can live out of the richness of this truth. It is hard for a speaker to be contained in 20 or 25 minutes and try to share a word that has such rich meaning for our times in which we live, leading a life worthy of your calling, of what you and I are called to. So right off the bat, as we hear these words in this verse 1, I want to recognize that a close analysis of this statement perhaps reveals several assumptions that could be inherent in that verse. For one, it assumes that you and I can lead a worthy life. Let that sink into our systems. It assumes that you and I can lead worthy lives. It assumes a calling to which you and I have been called as followers of Jesus Christ. So not only does it assume that you and I can lead a worthy life, but it also assumes a calling to which you and I have been called as followers of Jesus Christ. And then somehow it also makes the assumption, especially to the readers of the text of the book of Ephesians, that the people in that time and in that place were not living a life worthy of the calling to which they were called. Anyone with me? I know it's Wednesday and that good morning at the beginning was not very strong, but I hope you will remain with me as we try to take something for our lives today from this text. So we find these three assumptions, and perhaps there are even more, but my question that drives the message this morning is that somehow there is an assumption, and a good one at that, that you and I are worthy of living a life that we have been called to in Jesus Christ. I'm going to try not to get away from my notes very much, but I want to ask this question that has really been ringing in my heart since I read this text for the purpose of today's chapel. Do you consider yourself worthy? Do we consider ourselves worthy? Hold that question in your head. How do you see yourselves today? I'm not interested in yesterday, although yesterday informs today. I'm not interested in tomorrow yet, because tomorrow will be informed by the changes we will make today, by the things that we learn and take away from the biblical text. Do we consider ourselves as worthy? I want to awaken us to that reality, because the message that we often hear loud and clear is that you are not worthy, that I am not worthy, that somehow we have lived in a way that we have missed the mark. Anybody connecting with me yet? Have you ever felt that you've missed the mark? I have felt that at many times, and in ways that often brings me to a place of despair, because I recognize that somehow I did not live into the fullness of that which God offers me in Jesus Christ. If I may call you friends, and I will call you that this morning, friends, we have an invitation to consider what it means to live into the fullness of what God has called us for. It is not about getting it right. It is about living faithfully. Getting it right is a means of building and growing our faithfulness one step at a time. None of us are born fully perfect when we come out of our mother's womb. We grow and we develop and we cultivate over time and over seasons of human life that we must walk in as designed. And so I want you to allow that question, if you would, to please ring in your minds: lead a life worthy of your calling. And if you are struggling to consider yourself of any worth this morning, I hope that this gives you some purpose. And not just a purpose, but I hope it reminds you that you are worthy. The dividing walls that we revealed of our community, as Jeannie mentioned, do not have to get in the way of our worthy living. But they need to serve as a point of correction so we can live into the calling that God has issued for those who call themselves Christians. But let me return to the ancient meaning, disciples of Jesus Christ. Because when we consider ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, we are communicating to each other and to the world that we are following and we are working out in ourselves the character of Jesus Christ. I came across this when I was reading in one of the devotionals on C.S. Lewis, where he talks a lot about this understanding of discipleship as a mechanism of growing in our Christ-like character. And if I can recall all of it that I read recently in this particular devotion, C.S. Lewis is actually reminding us that just attending church and calling ourselves Christian doesn't always mean that we are living out our discipleship. In chapter 4, we encounter a transition that occurs, a transition from talking about doctrinal instructions, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then moving into 4, 5, and 6, but I will focus on my chapter, moving from doctrinal instructions to ethical considerations. And what does that mean? It means, how do we now live as people who've been informed by what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I want to remind us that chapters 1, 2, and 3 gloriously describe who you and I are. And remember that all of this is in Jesus Christ. It is not outside of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we look for our worth in things that are outside. And then we find it to be insufficient. And we struggle to figure out which direction we ought to move in. So may this serve as a reminder for you and me that the descriptions found in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 are found as we live our lives in Jesus Christ. We are described as a people who are chosen, adopted as children of the living God. So not only are we a chosen people, but we are adopted as the children of the living God. Do we recognize what that means? Further, it says that we are a redeemed people through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dr. Baldwin talked about the inheritance we have of eternal life in chapter 3, and in chapters 1 and 2 again, that we are a people by grace we have been saved. And it is through faith, and this is the part that Dr. Baldwin touched on, is that it is through faith that the Spirit of God dwells in us through Jesus Christ. So you and I become the ones that embody the Spirit of the living God. All of this is possible when we live our lives worthy to the calling that we have been called to. What an amazing description of who we are. Can you fathom that? When I think about the times that I have missed it, when I think about the times that I have failed, when I think about the times that I have hurt someone, when I think about the times that I have not fully lived out in the way that Christ has called me to, I return to myself. And again, I'm reminded of the words of Dr. Sarah Baldwin, who said on Monday, we preach the gospel to ourselves. And this is a moment yet once again to remind ourselves of the truth, lest we forgot it from Monday to Wednesday, which is quite likely because we have such a busy and a full life and we're so hurried that there's very little time. And yet, this is the deepest longing of a human heart, is to be worthy, to be valued. Do you see yourselves as such persons? Do we see ourselves together, Asbury University? Do we see ourselves as persons who are chosen, adopted, redeemed through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? A people who have an inheritance of eternal life. A people who have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. And through faith, Christ indwelling in us. Is that how you and I would describe ourselves? How would you describe yourself? How would you describe yourself? It is a rhetorical question, but I request you to hold it in your hearts throughout the day. How would you describe your current self? Because my hope and my prayer for us today is that we would move into that which we have been called for. Recognizing yet once again that God describes us as worthy because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed from a life of darkness to a life of wholeness.
We no longer have to live lives ruled by our sins and our brokenness. But by grace, we live as the children of the living God, a life that is marked by victory of Jesus Christ over sin. Again, I am stunned at this reality because the life that we hope to live as disciples of Jesus Christ is a life that is lived out in a joint effort with Jesus Christ and ourselves. We don't do this alone. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to move into this reality that is ours to own. It is not someone else's, but it is ours to own. A look at our world and frankly at ourselves shows us that we live in the fear of unknown and uncertain future. Anyone reckon with that? We live in a world that is ridden with the fear of the unknown and uncertain future, and we ourselves become fearful when we face those realities time and again. We live in brokenness and we live in sin. And I don't have to remind us of that, because a quick survey of oneself will reveal how exactly we live. We don't have to live in such brokenness and in such sin. That debilitates our ability to live the life of wholeness that is ours to reach for in Jesus Christ. And so, in light of the text of Ephesians chapter 4, I want us to ponder about a couple things that apply to our lives. The first that I've already highlighted: live a worthy life. Living a worthy life assumes that our lives are worthy. You and I are plagued with finding our worth. We are plagued. That is an important word. We are plagued. We are driven to find our worth and value. I hope I'm speaking to somebody in the house. We are plagued with a desire to find our worth and our value. Somehow, we are never good enough. The standards of worthiness constantly seem to be shifting. If it is not in our wealth or possessions, it is in our abilities and capacities or capabilities. While it is a basic human need to find worth, our search for worth needs to begin with who God says you and I are. Do we have the courage to believe today that that is who God calls us? The aspects that I highlighted prior to this point, that we are a people who are redeemed. Do we believe that about ourselves? Our search for worth begins in things external, in what others say who we are, as opposed to who God says we are. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says these words, that you and I are a chosen people, called out of darkness into light. This call is for all who believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It seems so simple. Just believe. Just believe. And yet, it's the hardest thing to do in human life. The hardest thing to do. According to Ephesians 4, there are certain benchmarks that are established for a worthy life, and those are marked by humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to quickly expound on those a little bit, that these important hallmarks of a worthy life must be understood so that we can live with the right recognition of what it means to live in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the bond of peace. Walking in humility is the first part of that statement. And DeMarianne, a couple weeks ago, talked about humility in one of his chapels. And I want to just remind us once again that humility is not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, to be deeply aware of our unworthiness and live out of the recognition of this reality. Oftentimes, friends, we confuse humility as thinking that it's calling us to think less of ourselves so that we can think more of the other. But the beauty of the Christian message, the biblical message, is that we are to think of ourselves as worthy, appropriately worthy, not more than and not less than. Because the way we arrive at offering dignity to each other is when we consider each of ourselves in the manner that we ought to understand. Gentleness and meekness, while self-explanatory, John Wesley says that it's the power over anger and over all violent passions that we possess. That a posture of gentleness and meekness is the power over anger and violent passions that we possess. Followed by patience, which is a quiet and unshakable posture, even when provoked. Anybody feel provoked? And what is the immediate reaction when we feel provoked? We just want to get back. And this text is inviting us to remain in a posture of quiet and unshakableness, bearing with one another in love, not resenting anything, nor avenging ourselves, but sympathizing with each other in sorrows, afflictions, and infirmities, basically helping each other. And then finally, the call to be eager to maintain the unity in the bond of peace. I wish we had hours to unpack this text of Ephesians, but unity is arrived at by humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. There's no other way to unity than to recognize our worth in Jesus Christ and recognize the worth of the other that stands in front of us, whoever that may be. So moving along, the first thing we must consider is that we have been called to live a worthy life. The second aspect is you have been called. That is a powerful statement. If you think that you haven't been called, be reminded this morning that you have been called. This plea is not for a certain few people. In this particular text in Ephesians, or just the book of Ephesians, the author is speaking to Jews and Gentiles. And I want to offer this morning that this applies to all of us, those in the church and those outside the church, those who are disciples of Jesus Christ and those who are yet to be, that this message of gathering ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ is available to all of us. There's a general calling and there's a specific calling, and each of us is called to contribute in the ways that we have been designed and gifted by God. Much of our lives are taken up with trying to live someone else's life. And while that may be all right, I'm not quite sure that that will really take us to where we've been called to be, to live in the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is extremely important to live our own lives, because in living our lives, we discover our worth and discover our calling. Have you ever tried to live someone else's life and suffered? I want to invite us this morning to live the life that you've been given so that you can discover your worth and live into the fullness that God has designed for us. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, knowing Christ is the richest treasure that one can find. Because in finding Christ, we find ourselves, and I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Do you see the power of finding Christ and living out our lives to the calling that we have been given as children of the living God? And then finally, Christ makes it possible for you and me to live this worthy life according to the calling that has been bestowed upon us. In Paul's life, an alteration took place. When Paul was on his way to continue in his prior mission, in his non-transformed life, he was on his mission of persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul encountered a bright light that blinded him, and he fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And we find this account in Acts chapter 9, an episode of transformation in Paul's life is worth paying attention to, because he probably lived in every manner of life that we find ourselves living in, and yet moved into living the worthy life that he was called to. Friends, I want to remind us that the good news of the gospel is that your life and my life's worth, our value, and even our calling are not found in great things we achieve. It is a gift that is given to you and me from the one who gave his life to save you and me from eternal destruction. That is the message of the gospel, the good news that we get so excited to hear every Sunday if we are churchgoers or people that somehow minimally prescribe to living the Christian life. We get excited, and yet somehow we have not discovered the power and the richness of these words. And I want to request you this morning to please take another look at these words, the invitation that is given to us this morning to live a life worthy of our calling. We're not called to division and hatred, but we are called to be one in Jesus Christ. If this appeals to you this morning, I invite you to continue to journey with this text throughout the day. If it appeals to you, that you will find a moment of actually finding your true self, stay with the text as long as you can, and let God speak to you today. Amen.